Good morning, friends. Our scripture today comes from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. And you will find that in your Pew Bibles on pages 1619. And we're talking about the boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother measured all these in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The message of God for the people of God.
We don't know a whole lot about Jesus and his childhood. We really don't. A couple of things we know. His family left Bethlehem and went down into Africa in response to the threat of Herod to murder all the young children. So we know that. And then we know that each year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and they were coming from Nazareth. So we know that Jesus did grow up around Nazareth, but we don't have a whole lot of information there until we get to this story. And I've often pondered, why is this story included? This is important for some reason, and it was important enough for Luke, the only gospel where you find it, to include this story. And there's really, I think, two different answers for this. And the first one comes from a parent's heart. How many of you have left a child somewhere along the road? Oh, look at that. I'm not the only one. Thanks be to God. My twins were about 8 years old. And do you remember the Stuckies that used to be along the road? I think they're primarily in the South. Well, we had stopped and we had three kids, twins, and one that was 3 years older, and I was trying to get down the road and called everybody to the car, and we got in the car. Now, I normally did a head count. It just comes from my military background to do that, but this is one of those times where getting down the road became more important than doing a head count, and so I didn't. And we get about a mile down the road, and someone in the back says, "Where's Andrea?" And I swear, I about blew up. I was that worried, you know. We get back, I whipped the car around, went back to Stucky's. She's sitting there trying to figure out which piece of candy she wants. And my first instinct was to say, "Why weren't you with," you know, and I thought, no, that's on me. That's on me. I didn't do the head, I didn't check and see. And I'm sure that there are other stories about where we, as we have gotten wrapped up in what we are doing, we have found that maybe one of our charges is not by our side as they should be. And that momentary feeling of panic, of searching, it can really hit you right here in the gut. For those of you that have had this experience, you know what I'm talking about. So I think that's one way to look at it. I also think there's another way to look at it, and we'll go deeper into this, because if you notice, the story is kind of told from the perspective of Mary and Joseph, right? It tells about their journey, and then when they found Jesus, what he was doing. But we don't hear Jesus' side of it until they find him, right? And so I'd like to talk a little bit more about this important lesson today and what we might be able to glean from it. We know he was 12 years old, which means he had not yet reached the age of majority for the Jews, which is 13. So he was a child. But he was right there, you know? Right there enough to where he was able to converse very, very well with the learned within the temple. He asked questions. They said he sat there. And that is a place for those who are learning. Those who sat at the feet of Jesus later. It was Jesus now who was sitting at the feet of the rabbis, the teachers, to learn. It says in our text, and I've read this in a couple versions just to make sure, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. This is important because oftentimes this is painted as him getting separated along the way and then being lost and trying to find that where. That's not what the text says. He stayed behind in Jerusalem. That shows intent. He chose to stay behind. There's something going on here that is tying him to Jerusalem, tying him to this experience with the teachers. And then we hear that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. They traveled out a day. They probably had that uh-oh moment. And they traveled back, and then they searched. We surmise that. But that 3 days is very significant. That 3 days of not knowing, that 3 days of being in a different state, of being anxious. Can you think of anything else that may be coming in a few months which we wait 3 days about? There's a reason why these numbers are what they are. Those who were teaching in the temple were amazed at his understanding and by his answers. They were in conversation. The questions he asked were deep. He was beginning to understand this other part of himself, unlocking it, playing with it. And those who were learned in the faith were amazed by him. And then mom and dad show up and say, listen to this. Child, why have you treated us like this? Right? Why have you treated us like this? And so all of a sudden the story, you get whiplash almost. It comes right back onto the parents. Well, wasn't this the same Mary who had Gabriel come to her and proclaim that she was blessed among all women, that she was having the Messiah, you know? What happened in the last 12 years? Where did that story go? My feeling is he was a child growing like any other child. And yet there is a dawning awareness of whose child he truly is. We see that in his response, where Jesus says, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Who's standing before him? His mother and his? And now we see him shifting this understanding from his humanness to his godliness. See that? See that what's happening? This is a real turning point for Jesus. And I imagine for Mary and Joseph as well, as they encounter this duality in their son. I know it because it says in the scripture they did not understand what he said to them. They didn't get it because all they saw before them was the son that Mary gave birth to. And then it said that Jesus was obedient to them as they returned to Nazareth. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in the favor of God and of humans. Now, before we think that this is a standalone story about Jesus, we have to understand that Jesus is continually fulfilling different parts of Scripture, right? That's exactly what he's doing. As a matter of fact, he says, I do not come to replace the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. So it's interesting to note that the model for this story is actually the birth of Samuel to Hannah and Elkanah, which we find in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Here's some of the parallels. Mary's song, which we know from the first chapter of Luke, is very much like Hannah's song in the first chapter of Samuel, or the first book of Samuel, chapter 2. Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And Samuel was raised by Eli, a priest, in a temple-like setting of the day. The temple was literally Samuel's home. And the priest, Eli, was his surrogate father. Hannah and her husband went yearly to the temple to make a sacrifice, as did Mary and Joseph. And the child, this is from 1 Samuel 2, the child Samuel grew on. Here it is, the idea of growth again. And increased in favor both with Yahweh, with God, and with men. And it was in this setting that Samuel grew to understand his true calling. Samuel, of course, is translated as name of God. Jesus, we struggle because throughout the church's history, there have been those that said, well, if he's fully God, he needed to have sprung from the womb fully, I mean, knowing everything straight up front, that's it, you know? And he was God from the moment he was born in all things, including wisdom. But this scripture shows that there is this duality of being fully divine and fully human that coexisted in Jesus. And as we develop, as we grow, as we mature, so did Jesus. So did Jesus go through stages of maturity. And so do we. And I, as said, stages of maturity. Notice I didn't say just physical maturity. There's dawning awarenesses, there's choices, there's turning points in our lives as well, as we heard in the scripture today. These turning points are why the story, in my opinion, is here. It's because this is a point where Jesus turns from strictly his earthly parents and begins to be pulled toward his heavenly Father. A point where his desire to be in relationship, his love of God begins to come to the fore. And his desire to stay in the temple, in the presence of God, learning godly things, talking with godly people, being in those relationships, to him was more important at that moment. And so his response to his parents, how did you not know that this is where I'd be? His parents were very observant Jews. Every year they went from their place to Jerusalem for Passover. I don't know if you know the traditions of the time, but the traditions were if you lived within roughly 20 miles of Jerusalem, then that's where you went to celebrate the Passover. But if you lived outside of that, it was a pilgrimage once in your lifetime to go to the temple. But his parents, who lived about 100 miles away, did this each year. Devout. And yet Jesus yearned for something even more than that. He yearned to be in that close relationship with God, his Father. He yearned to be around those who used to live lives centered on God. At age 12, like Jesus, discipleship has turning points. If you notice as we went through it, Jesus increased in four dimensions in our reading today. Those dimensions were being fully human means that Jesus began life with the limitation infant and yet grew steadily into a deeper capability both as a human and in a divine sense. He grew in spirit. He grew in wisdom. And these things are not just unique to him, because the light of Christ, that capacity to grow in our spirit, is within us as well. And yet, how often we deny it. How often we feast on other aspects of ourself that are more worldly in nature and fail to yearn for those places that bring us into deeper relationship with God. So this morning, what are your discipleship turning points? We all mature in different ways, at different rates. But as followers of Jesus Christ, by virtue of baptism, we have been incorporated into God's family. And by the life and death of Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are incorporated into that family forever. So how is it that we acknowledge that and mature in our faith? I'm going to say this, and I don't want it to be offensive, but I'm going to risk it. We need to move beyond a felt Jesus Christianity. We need to move beyond the things that we were told in third grade Sunday school. We need to start exploring what it for us to become fully mature disciples. To where we yearn to be in the presence of God, where we yearn to be with others celebrating and praise His holy name, where we yearn to be in the Word of God. That's what this story is for. It's to ask us each one, what is our turning point as a disciple of Jesus Christ? And as part of that, we begin to shift our understanding of reliance upon others to reliance upon God. Each of us, I would say, in our world, looks to others and ourselves as the primary source of all that we need and have. Right? We do. But what Jesus is saying is, wait, world, stay there. I need to primarily be in communion with my Father. I need to be with those who can help me go deeper in my spiritual understanding. That's who I need. So as we mature in our faith, like Jesus, we find ourselves pulled toward places and people through which we experience a deeper understanding and presence of God. Learning to let go of the things and the people who may be blocking our view of God. So as we begin a new year, and as we all start thinking, as most of us do, what is our resolution for this coming year? Perhaps that we should all acknowledge that we too are given an opportunity to choose the places and to embrace the people who bring us closer in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'll be straight up with you. That's my resolution this year. To spend more time falling deeper in love with my God. To spend time in places where I feel that bubbling up inside of me. To spend time with people who can lead me and accompany me in my discipleship journey. That's my resolution. And I pray that it's yours as well. Amen. Amen. Amen.